Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'd like to give you an update on some of the media we've been doing to promote the truth that there's a creator God and that he made us in his image and his likeness, and that, of course, people should, in Colorado, vote to affirm the God-given right to life by voting yes on Amendment 48. I had, on behalf of Colorado Right to Life, I just did an interview with USA Today, and that was just 10 minutes before airtime. So there's a possibility that there'll be an article out tomorrow or later in the week in USA Today. We had, you guys, I think we've talked about the C-SPAN, 35 minutes on C-SPAN. We haven't used that audio, but we link to it from our website at kgov.com. And C-SPAN has just put up some higher quality flash video of that 37-minute debate with Crystal Klinkenbeard, who's the former Planned Parenthood abortion provider, staffer, who's opposed to personhood in the Amendment 48. So that was a worthwhile debate, and you could see it going to our website, kgov.com, or C-SPAN, and searching for Personhood Amendment, or Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, and that should pop up. Also, ABC News quoted me regarding the presidential elections on Friday. They had a quote from James Dobson, followed by Bob Enyart with American Right to Life, and it had to do with McCain in Colorado, and McCain wooing Colorado evangelicals. So I'd like to quote that for you in a moment, but first, just the rest of this rundown. We also had, last night, three of us met with editors from publications, news outlets in Sweden. They sent a team of 14 editors here to Colorado to cover our election cycle, but also Amendment 48. They were especially interested. Now, editors, and these are not reporters, these are actually editorial writers from 14 different media outlets in Sweden. And the major paper in Sweden had those, if you recall, the cartoons about Muhammad, and they showed Muhammad as violent, some of them, and that sparked worldwide violent protest of Muslims complaining that they're not violent. And so there was one of the 14 editors was from that newspaper. And it was a fascinating conversation last night at the Brown Palace, downtown Denver, in their atrium for about 2 hours. We sat and talked through the principles that I started out this way. I said, in Europe, if you guys want to see a right-wing fundamentalist Christian, you have to go to a museum. But here in America, right in front of you, you've got three of them living and breathing right here, and you could actually talk to us and ask us questions. And they laughed. They got a good chuckle out of that. But it was a perfect setup because they were stunned. I mean, they were stunned. They were in shock. But we had a great conversation. It was cordial. A couple of the Swedes got upset. Two of the gals got a bit upset, talking about abortion, and one of the guys got a bit upset, but overall it was great. And I tell you, the two people that got the most upset were the last ones to leave. They stayed, they lingered the longest and calmed down, and we had a great conversation. I'd like to tell you how some of that went, but we started out by discussing the scientific evidence to lead into the truth that we were created by God, because these Swedes, for the most part, they are socialist, they are liberal to the extreme, they believe as a certainty that we've evolved from animals. In fact, one of them said, we are animals. That's it. We are just animals. And so it was all really a good opportunity to talk to these guys, and I'll go through some of the arguments we made with them in a moment, but I want to finish this overview first. And then Al Jazeera, of all things, Al Jazeera, they, of course, you know about them, the Middle Eastern network, satellite network, that is the enemy of freedom and Christianity in America, although I would think that CNN also qualifies as the enemy of America and freedom and Christianity. In fact, the networks generally, well, Al Jazeera a year ago opened an English language network out of Washington, D.C., and they flew out a reporter and a cameraman to report on Colorado's Amendment 48, and they went to Planned Parenthood and actually ended up interviewing members of our church, Denver Bible Church, and then a Planned Parenthood employee came out of the clinic and they didn't want to talk to the gal, which was interesting. That's the opposite of the norm, right? And I don't know if it was like, well, they kill kids, we'd rather not talk to them. I'm not sure that that was the attitude, but from the account I heard, it sounded like that was the attitude. And so we had a great opportunity to make the case for the personhood of the unborn because we have the God-given right to life. So that was fascinating, great opportunity, and that was yesterday on Sunday. So busy weekend, busy week, one more week until Election Day. And in Colorado, please do what you can to encourage others to vote yes on Amendment 48. Please do what you can. But let me share this with you off of abcnews.com on Friday. McCain in Colorado wooing Colorado evangelicals. There's a quote from James Dobson and then a quote from American Right to Life. So let's see, I'll share this with you. James Dobson, a leader in the Colorado Springs evangelical community, endorsed President Bush in his successful run for the White House in 2004 and said during the primaries this year, quote, "I am convinced Senator McCain is not a conservative and, in fact, has gone out of his way to stick his thumb in the eyes of those who are. I cannot and will not vote for Senator John McCain as a matter of conscience," unquote. So they quoted James Dobson. That's from a few months ago. And then they quoted Bob Enyart with the American Right to Life, encourages people to vote for a third-party candidate, saying, "Don't vote for someone who funds and defends the killing of unborn children. Don't vote for John McCain." So then it would have been perfect if they would have followed up with Joe the Plumber. I mean, that would have been perfect because that's now a matter of record. The Associated Press interviewed Joe the Plumber and asked him what he thought about the two candidates, McCain and Obama, and he wasn't too happy with them, and he brought up a third-party candidate, first name off the top of his head, and so let's hear that.
Well, that's all we get to pick from is only two candidates.
Yeah, there's no choices there, really.
No, there's no choice there. You know, there's a gentleman named Alan Keyes. The guy is incredibly smart. He's probably too smart for his own good, but I have no doubt he'd probably fix this country in 2 years.
In 2 years. I have no doubt either. Joe the Plumber. Boy, the guy's just smarter than, he's smarter than the average voter. I'll tell you that. And he just becomes the symbol of this election. Some plumber out of Ohio, Holland, Ohio, and he's the symbol of the election. And he thinks that Alan Keyes is the guy who could fix the country. I mean, don't be discouraged and don't give up on standing for what is true, what is right, what is good. You know, when John McCain picked Sarah Palin, boy, people were excited. The momentum, the money that flowed, and the entire election was turning, which shows that Christians do have the clout and the funds and the ability to end abortion if we were to be true to God and not compromise. But we are true to the Republican Party, and we say that no matter how evil the Republican is, we will vote for him because we don't like the Democrats. It's like the Germans who were against the communists. They hated the Marxists, so they voted for the socialists, who happened to be Hitler and his gang, the National Socialists. So that's not a standard. Don't make your own influence in our culture superficial and meaningless or harmful even. Don't do that. Stand up for what is right. All right, so I have a quote. Actually, it's a political ad, a radio ad, from a bishop from Corpus Christi, Texas. And it's fascinating because he identifies himself and he actually names Barack Obama and saying he's pro-abortion. So basically he's saying don't vote for Barack Obama. And I think this is fascinating because it's an example of a religious leader directly telling people don't vote for somebody who kills kids. Now, I think he should cut another one for John McCain also, but let's listen to this.
This is Bishop Rene H. Gracida reminding all Catholics that they must vote in this election with an informed conscience. A Catholic cannot be said to have voted in this election with a good conscience if they have voted for a pro-abortion candidate. Barack Hussein Obama is a pro-abortion candidate.
And that's it. That's pretty interesting. That takes guts. It takes guts in the current climate. Now, I think it'd be exciting if, in fact, he could cut the same spot for McCain. Because McCain has, through his exceptions, you know, a child is not an exception. A child is not an exception. John McCain funds exceptions, or he funds the killing of kids who are unwanted and who he deemed do not deserve to be loved or protected by law. And he actually uses your tax dollars to pay to kill those kids. And if you do the math, with the exceptions that he supports, he has funded the surgical abortion of 300,000 kids just since he's been in the Senate. 300,000 children. And, of course, he supports the killing of millions upon millions of kids. He utterly rejects that the unborn child has a right to life because he says, in fact, that the states could allow abortion if they want to. And he supports doing research, fatal research, fetal research, embryonic stem cell research. He supports that, even paying for it, millions of dollars, to harvest the parts of tiny boys and girls. He should go to snowflakes.org and look at the photo album there. He should go there and look at those kids. That's those kids. That is the face of the Personhood Amendment in Colorado, those kids. And I suggest, in fact, you could go to coloradorighttolife.org, and there's a link right there to the photo album of the Snowflake kids. And you could print out a couple of their pictures and show them to your friends. Say, these kids, they didn't start their lives in their mother's womb. This little girl here, she started her life in a test tube. And then she was months or years removed from her biological parents when she was adopted by a loving couple and not killed. She was not killed, and she grew to term and was born. Then you could see this precious little girl. But her life, it is indisputable that her life began as a result of her biological parents months or years before she was implanted into her adopted mother's womb. That is irrefragable. It's irrefutable. And so we know what the science says. We know what the science says. So we get to the Swedes. That brings us to the Swedes because we started out showing them pictures of these adopted frozen embryos. And they're precious children. They're not pictures of aborted children. I mean, that's good to show people too. But these are pictures of adopted kids. And a lot of pro-aborts don't even want to see these kids. And we saw that at the Democratic District 6 meeting, community meeting, a few weeks ago on a Saturday morning. I handed out these same photos, and that they wouldn't touch them. I mean, they're just beautiful kids, babies, infants, toddlers, precious little kids, and they wouldn't touch them. It was amazing to see. But so science shows us irrefutably that that human life begins at fertilization. And, of course, then there's cloning and twinning and other forms of asexual human reproduction, but including fertilization. That's one of the ways you begin human reproduction. So science shows us unequivocally that a new human life is there at fertilization. But then I ask these Swedish editors the question, can science tell us right from wrong? Can science tell us that it's wrong to lynch a black man? Can science tell us that? The laws of the physical sciences do not use the moral concepts of right and wrong. They don't employ those terms. And in fact, the laws of logic are not physical. They have no mass. They don't weigh anything. They have no polarity. They're not positive or negative or neutral. So there is a non-physical reality that is the realm of logic and reason and right and wrong. That is a non-physical reality. And if you think there is no such thing as right and wrong, well, as you're thinking that, you are manipulating ideas which are not physical. And you might be the kind of person who denies that anything other than the material universe exists. And so it's like arguing that there's no air while you're breathing to make the argument. It's like that. But if you argue there is no right or wrong, then you're merely stating that you are not qualified to weigh in on public policy issues. You're just not qualified. Somebody who says, I don't know right from wrong, is not qualified. So you should wait until you come to another point in your life where you can learn right from wrong, and then perhaps you could become qualified to weigh in on matters of life and death and stealing private property. Our phone number here at Bob Inyart Live is 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we had a handout to the Swedes, and 13 of them took the handout back to their hotel rooms, 13 of them. So that's encouraging. And we went through a good part of it while we were chatting. And on this handout, we designed it knowing that these guys are coming from a materialistic worldview. And they certainly don't come from a view that God created us, especially in his image and likeness. They reject Christianity. And so we wanted to start where they are at and address some of their cliches and some of their ideas. They would think that right and wrong, that government policy should be based on science. So I imagine that they never heard the idea in their whole lives that science doesn't deal in terms of right and wrong, that science can't address that. So we quoted Albert Einstein over a 15-year period in his life where he wrote repeatedly about this notion of the difference between the material world and the realm of ideas and values. And Einstein wrote in 1950 that science can only ascertain what is, but not what should be. So Einstein, and by the way, if you Google this phrase that I'll give you, then you could find this in our writings online, and then click and you go to Google Books and you could see it right in Einstein's writings. You could see it right from him. But here, if you Google this, in 1950, Einstein wrote that science can only ascertain. That's it. If you Google those words, you'll find this, an article by Bob Inyart about philosophy and philosophers' attack on Christianity, Euthyphro's Dilemma. But in 1950, comma, Einstein wrote that science can only ascertain. So if you Google that, you'll find the rest of it. That science can only ascertain what is, but not what should be. excluding from its domain, quote, value judgments of all kinds, unquote. So science cannot even prove that slavery is wrong. Science can't do that. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Ruth, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, I am pro-life, and I was actively working in Denver, Right
yes.
to Life, and I did that for about 10 years. I got involved.
Well, thank you for all that, Ruth.
Thanks. I got involved to fight euthanasia because in 93, there was a bill, that, no, 92, Senate Bill 92-3. There was a bill that went forth that said, that was voted on, that said, and it passed, that you can withdraw food and water
right,
from
exactly.
anybody.
And no. In Colorado, the law is this, that it's against the law. Assisted suicide is against the law, except that starving someone to death is not considered assisted suicide.
Right.
That's the law.
Yes.
That's our mm-hmm. Colorado Medical Association. That's what they support. That's the insanity. You know, when you give up on God's command,
yes.
do not murder, mm-hmm. you become absurd.
Now, and so how does that fit in with Bill 48? First of all, I want to tell you that I gave up my pro-life work because I started witnessing mostly on the city bus.
Okay, you started and, sharing the gospel
yes.
with people.
And I
all
did
right.
not have time for pro-life stuff anymore. But
all right, well,
the message of salvation, that the precious blood of the Messiah Yeshua
yes.
washing our sins away is the only way to heaven.
Well, Ruth, that's exactly right. Jesus yes. Christ came to save
yeah.
us, those who would trust in him, his
yes.
death and resurrection.
Yes.
And so what we do at Denver Bible Church, we just do both.
Yes.
We because people generally will not ask God for salvation.
Uh-huh.
They won't ask God for forgiveness unless they know that they're sinners.
Yes,
and a lot of people reject that they're sinners.
Uh-huh.
And so
yes.
the Bible tells us to use God's law,
uh-huh.
including do not murder,
uh-huh. yes.
to show people that they are sinners
yes,
and they're
right.
headed to hell. So when we tell people about abortion, that
uh-huh.
it's wrong,
uh-huh.
it's murder, you're killing the innocent, and therefore
yes.
you're in trouble with God, and
uh-huh.
you need to be forgiven.
And I want to just briefly tell you where I am spiritually, and then I want to go in
well,
and talk about the
Ruth,
Senate candidate.
Ruth, right after you is Sean from Boulder, so
uh-huh.
why don't you go right to the Bob Schaefer,
the
your
Senate
comment
candidate.
About Bob
okay.
Schaefer. Yeah.
You see, I was shocked. A lady in our church kind of idolizes Bob Schaefer. And she said, I'm not going to vote in favor of 48, that life begins at conception, because Bob Schaefer isn't voting against it. He believes, she said, I think there's something in there that was thrown in about stem cell research. Well, I went and read my little blue paper,
right.
blue booklet that I got in the mail. There is nothing there about stem cell research.
Well, right.
He was misled.
Well, what it says is that it defines person as every human
yes,
from
yes.
the moment of fertilization.
So I want to tell
you. It's the shortest amendment
yes.
possible. And Bob Schaefer, for the last 10 years, his written record is he supports life beginning at conception, fertilization. They're
uh-huh.
used as synonyms by Republicans usually. And now that he has a chance to do something about it,
uh-huh.
he's become a hypocrite. He's turned back on his career-long position. So thank you, Ruth. Now I want to get to Boulder, Colorado. Sean, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Sure.
I just want to make a comment. You know, I was brought up in God's Word over the years. You know, I got away from him and then came back to him just recently. Been going to a church, but it just kills me how science and people, you know, we've just, which basically comes down to our own choice, you know. We always want to make these excuses, you know, from
yeah.
saying that dinosaurs are millions of years old, the earth, this and that, or, and what gets me too is with the scientists, and yeah, science can work along with the Bible.
Oh, absolutely. If science observes the way things function,
exactly.
they're looking at the hand of God, the works of God.
Exactly.
Right.
And what I've realized over the years that with a lot of these atheists and scientists, basically, because they just, in their own hearts, they know what's wrong. They know there's a right and wrong, but they choose to believe what they want to believe.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And it's just sad that, unfortunately, over the years, that we have gotten away from God. You know, we've taken our God mm-hmm. out of family and out of the world, so to say. We're going to come up with the other conclusion, but deep down, you know, there's something that's called a conscience, which God gave to us.
Mm-hmm.
We know something's not right, but we have to go from there and search for it. But just unfortunately, man, you know, because of our sin nature, we've gotten away from that. We try to come up with
and
these own conclusions.
By the way, Romans chapter 2 explicitly talks about our conscience, that God wrote his law on our hearts. You're right. Hey, have you ever heard of the show, radio show called Stump the Professor on KOA Radio?
Vaguely. I've been listening to some Christian stations lately and some other radio stations.
Good.
Because I said, about 5 months ago, I recently got back, and I was away from God, but I got back in the church.
Went
back into his word. Feels so much better.
Well, welcome back into the fellowship in the body of Christ. Hey, let me tell you real quickly, I asked this Stump the Professor.
I think I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, I said, hey, professor, there was a doctor of endocrinology from Baruch College in New York, Dr. Joe Brind, and he was on Denver radio, and he made a comment that has to do with our person at Amendment 48.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's that? And I said he talked about the difference between hormones and pheromones. And Sean, this is so fascinating. If you're interested in science and the way God made us, a hormone is a chemical signal within an organism.
Exactly. Yeah.
A pheromone is a chemical signal between organisms.
Okay.
And he said the fertilized egg, the embryo, as it's coming down the fallopian tube.
Okay.
It sends out a cry to its mother that it's here and please get ready to feed me.
Okay.
And that chemical signal is a pheromone because it's coming from a tiny little baby boy sometimes or a baby girl to the mother to get ready to feed me, get ready, get the womb, your uterus, get your womb ready because I'm hungry and here I am. And so that's a pheromone. And so the Stump the Professor, he said, so what do you make of that? And I said, well, I make of it that we should vote yes on Amendment 48 to acknowledge the God-given right to life of the unborn.
Exactly.
And then he got upset. I don't know why.
Yeah. You explain this to the scientists, how they compare this and that, and you compare it to the Bible, and everything comes up short versus the Bible. And they still get mad at you. They call you stupid, or you were an idiot, or this was like, but yet, you know, they still have holes in their arguments.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Big Bang. I had the honor of being on KNUS Radio 710 on Saturday night.
Okay. Yeah, I think I heard you mention or talking to
Yeah, 5:30 to 6 with Trevor Carey, and what a great time we had talking about the evidence for creation and against the Big Bang and evolution. We had a great time, and then a talk show host from Northern Colorado called in off the air and said, hey, can I get that guy on my show? And so hopefully we'll be able to announce another creation evolution show coming up here shortly. But Sean, thank you so much for calling in.
Just one more comment I just want to say. Like, with the Big Bang, too, and I tell people, the Big Bang happened. Where did that come from?
Yeah, very good.
Everything has a beginning.
Very good point. Thank you, Sean. Thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Yeah, Stephen Hawking said, where did the matter for the universe come from? It was borrowed from the gravitational field of the universe. We said, Stephen, excuse me, what universe? I mean, where did the matter for the universe come from? He said, oh, it was borrowed from the universe. Sorry, that doesn't cut it, Stephen Hawking. Hey, we're out of time. In Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school, and kgov.com.